Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
The man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Pointing you to the hope and love of Jesus Christ in a darker and darker place, this world. Good Wednesday morning, Mike LeMay and David Firazzo. Welcome to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. A lot to get to this morning, but as always, this show starts off in prayer.
Lord God, thank you for another day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it, and we praise you, Lord, for waking us up today, keeping our hearts beating, and giving us purpose in Christ. If we are saved, Lord, we know that you've got a plan for every one of our lives. And we ask that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit and teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Thank you for the privilege and the honor and the responsibility of speaking about your truth and things that matter from a biblical Christian worldview. And we ask that you bless this hour and guide us as you always do. And we love you and commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Our topic today, religious freedom slipping away. This morning, a little later, we covered two court cases that could have permanent damaging effects on religious freedom for Christians in America. These are blatant attempts to muzzle Christians by restricting how they can earn a living and provide for their families moving forward. Now, if the secular progressives are victorious in these court cases, religious freedom as we have known it may well indeed become a thing of the past. But our first segment, we are blessed to be joined by Tina Griffin, counterculture mom, as we discuss the growing influence of Hollywood, television, and music on our children, and how we can offer safe alternatives. Tina, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Thank you very much for having me on this morning.
Well, Tina, as always, there's plenty going on to be concerned about, particularly for parents in a world of entertainment, which never stops giving us things to talk about. So one of the most influential and sadly anti-Christian female artists in the past decade has been Katy Perry. She's led her fans into the occult, the LGBTQ movement, or at the very least, away from God. What do you know about her upcoming new album this week?
Yes, Katy Perry, I completely agree. She was actually born Catherine Hudson, had a upbringing in a Christian, solid Christian home, lived in Santa Barbara, singing at farmers markets up there. And shortly thereafter, she literally has admitted that she sold her soul to Satan because she wasn't making enough cash and wasn't becoming famous enough. She loved Amy Grant back then, but wasn't becoming a big name artist with the Christian venue. So she switched over and said she sold her soul to Satan, and her albums definitely prove that that's the walk she's walking at this point. We have to keep her in prayer, but her upcoming album coming out June 9th, so in what, 2 days here, wow. A lot of kids are going to be asking for this album, and it's definitely not a good album for parents to be getting for their kids and for young children, to even teenagers, to be watching online for YouTube videos that go along with this album. I was actually hoping that she would have a good album because she said from the last time she released an album 4 years ago, it was an album called Prism. She said she's healed her relationship with her dad. It's a lot better today. She's had rifts with other singers in the industry. Recently, it was Taylor Swift, and she said a lot of things are being healing up with her and other singers in the industry. And she said this whole album is all about healing that took place, the better path she's on in life. And I'm like, well, maybe there's a shot. Maybe there's a chance that we have a good album, but it's not. So thank you for having me share about that. Her album has a lot of graphic sexual content, a lot of pornography, her videos. Bon Appetit is one of the top songs on that album. It opens with her being basically naked in bed with a thin, revealing, like, see-through bed sheet over the top of her. And she's basically naked on a platter, and different cooks are massaging her body parts, and she's acting out as if she's, you know, how do I say it where it's not too graphic?
In the middle of a sexual
ordeal.
Yeah.
So, not good for kids. You want to steer clear from that album.
Well, first, thank you, Tina. It figures, first of all. But secondly, it's interesting, as you were talking, explaining the video, I'm thinking, we've got her, we've got you know, Madonna, we've got Lady Gaga and Miley Cyrus and probably a couple others. It seems they're probably not thinking that they're competing with one another, but aren't they trying to outdo each other in a way from someone that's just an observer looking at this perspective of they're trying to be push the envelope beyond what the last person did?
I completely agree. It's such a great, that's such a great observation. I mean, I thought about it before, but you're right, and it is. I mean, whenever you look at the award shows, you've got the different singers going back and forth, sometimes kind of in a brawl, sometimes on stage, because one thinks they're better than the other. And my question is, once you have no more clothes on, what else is there to reveal? You know, how bad can it get? But you're right. And I should mention this album is called Witness. Oh. So she plans on doing a big tour. So she's not a witness for Christ. She's a witness for Satan. And so that's the short end of the stick. And we definitely want to steer clear from that. But you're right. Competition is huge in Hollywood. And you nailed it right in the head with what's going on with our celebs today.
And, you know, our heart just breaks for her parents, Katy Perry's parents, Miley Cyrus's parents. From what we know, they were raised by Christian parents. We don't know the depth of their faith, but it's got to be just a heartbreak, Tina. And I think of so many Christians who've tried to raise their children the right way and have seen them stray into some of this stuff, something we've just got to really be in prayer about, obviously.
We do. And what I want to mention, too, is that she had a couple articles that just came out. She was interviewed from a couple of top sources in Hollywood where she basically said she lived in a really, I don't want to say legalistic household, but she was trying to kind of point the finger at her parents mm-hmm. for her current actions today. The reason why she ran from the church is because her parents constantly wanted them to go to church and read Bible stories. And I'm thinking, well, that's what you're supposed to do as a parent. So yeah. I give two thumbs up to her parents. But the fact that she's on video at the same time admitting that she lived in a great Christian household but now wanted to become more famous and get more cash, that video footage to me says a lot, because even her mannerisms, she was completely honest with the reporter there when she was in Australia. And I have that video on my website, counterculturemom.com, where she comes out and says, I just want to become more famous, make more cash, and therefore I sold my soul to the industry, to Satan. She actually uses the word Satan. So I don't think in that situation, no household's perfect, but I don't think her growing up, it was that bad of a Christian upbringing. I just think she did what she said. She wanted to become more famous, make more cash, and hence switch from her Christian upbringing, believing in Jesus, and now having a demonic realm for her to push her new platform. And that's what's really scary. And at the same time, we need to be praying for her, but making sure that people do not allow their kids to be influenced by her.
And also, we want to mention Beyonce, because she is so influential and famous, and Christian young girls are listening to her. And I don't know how you feel about her past videos and a lot of satanic stuff, very flat-out, blatant occultism. And this may sound like a stretch for somebody who has not studied the occult when it comes to Beyonce, her music, her videos, but they can go to Good Fight Ministries and watch her Super Bowl video being explained from several years ago. But Tina, what do you think briefly about Beyonce and her influence? Because people might not know what she stands for, but it seems like it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's becoming so much more obvious. And it's awesome thing is our young people are starting to get it. Like, I get emails from young people saying, check out what she wore on stage, check out what she's doing on tour, Tina, did you see she's using these words and having that symbol on her clothing. So people are starting to really tune in, and the cool thing is it's our young kids, like our middle school and high school students ages. But she wears goat ram heads on her album covers. She wears them in her photo shoots, she wears them on stage. That's just her symbolism in her outfits. And that is that you're paying homage to Satanism and witchcraft. You are following Lucifer. Literally, that's what the goat ram head symbol symbolizes. That's what it means. In her lyrics, it's the same thing. When she did the Grammy Award show performance pregnant there on stage, mm-hmm. a lot of her body movements and what she was wearing was all paying a homage to an African goddess. Mm-hmm. And this is very against God's word, and a lot of people are influenced. They don't really even realize what she's doing, but she has also admitted, like you said, in the Good Fight Ministries video, which I also share that clip in my live shows, And I also have that DVD available on my website, as well as Jill Schimmel. Him and I go way back 20 years. It's amazing how God made that happen. That was not by accident. His videos do such a good job of capturing Beyonce admitting, she says before she goes on stage, that another entity enters her body and takes over on stage, and it's not God. It's a demon. And this video exposes that angels can't enter people, but demons can. And I'm like, wow, I got chills hearing that, because these kids, when they hear that, you can't deny the truth. And if she knows another entity entered her body, it's a demon. And that is what is working through her lyrics, working through her mouth, working through her clothing, working through her body movements on stage, and literally putting a seance, basically, over the audience, watching and listening to her on stage. And when she gets off of stage, it's gone. But by her admitting that in the video, it is so eye-opening. And that's why I'm so glad people like Joe Schimmel, your radio station, presentations that God's given me a chance to do, because when kids and parents see it, they won't get it out of their head. It changes their lives. When I saw this footage 20 years ago with people that were singers, you know, two decades ago, it changed the course of my life. What I did for ministry, who I hung out with, what I listened to, everything about who I am and what God's called me to do.
Oh, I tell you, it's sad and unfortunate in the cases of Katy Perry and apparently Beyonce. Ignorance cannot be pleaded anymore in their case, because
they know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. Yep. Tina, a lot of hype about the new Wonder Woman movie, and I haven't really followed a lot of it, but this looks like the next blockbuster Hollywood is promoting here. Anything we should be concerned about in it?
Honestly, I haven't done a lot of research on it either. What I've been doing a lot of research on is Katy Perry's album and also the National Bible Game Show, which I wanted to talk to you on. That has been taking up a lot of my time lately, but I will be looking at Wonder Woman. And if you'd like, I'm trying to think how I could get an update on that. If they want to go to Counterculture Mom here or tune in to Counterculture Mom Facebook page, I will put some info on there in the next 3 days regarding Wonder Woman. I'll do a review on it.
Excellent. Well, tell us about this National Bible Study show you were talking
about. The Bible Bee. Yeah, you recently interviewed Emil Zwane from Living Waters Ministry and talked about that. It features Kirk Cameron. It sounds like it's going to be a great opportunity for kids.
Yes, it is. It's awesome. I have every Tuesday, sometime in the afternoon to evening hours, I have a show I just launched 9 weeks ago called Hollywood Insider, like you said. And basically, I want to get guests on, and have been. And the next lineup for the next year is just phenomenal with who is jumping on board. I'm getting emails coming in, so it's not as though I have to look for guests. And they're great guests that are excellent in their fields. They have amazing experience, all in different things from technology, pop culture. I have a virgin actor in Hollywood that I'm going to have on next week's show, amazing guy that does a lot of film and TV work that's waiting until wedding night for sex. And this is the stuff that should be glamorized and pushed in the media for young people to look up to, parents to understand, oh my gosh, there's people living the godly lifestyle in Hollywood. And so 2 weeks ago, I had Emil Zwane on, who is one of the hosts with Kirk Cameron, Hannah Leary, who was the winner of last year's game show for National Bible Bee, and then the Benham brothers, whom I just met in Florida three months ago with NRB. And great guys. Of course, they went HGTV, got kicked off for their beliefs on man and woman marriage, you know, no homosexuality for lifestyle. Honoring God, did it in a great way, but they got kicked off their show. Mm-hmm. Now they're on this show, got open the door. Great cast. And what they do is every summer they have an 8-week Bible study for kids ages 7 to 18. And they can sign up at BibleBee.org. They can actually go to CountercultureMom.com, and I'll give you the link for you to put on your website. They can read the blog and watch the show with Emil on it. And he does such a great job sharing about his testimony. He, of course, is a son-in-law to Ray Comfort. So he talks about his ministry with Living Waters and talks about this Bible Bee game show. Cool thing is, kids go through this 8-week Bible study. They can sign up until June 15th for $25. That's it. And they get to memorize scripture throughout the summer. It's 20 minutes a day. So if they're going to do a fun thing with friends or a water park, the drive over, they can be studying God's word to have that critical foundation in their lives so they can combat the lies. They know when they're being deceived. They know what truth is in our culture today. It's so critical. Nothing else compares to having young children memorizing the Word of God. Mm. And the cool thing is by August, first weekend of August, they get to take a test online. If they're one of the top ranking kids for their age range, they break it down according to age, they get to go down to Texas in November to actually shoot the National Bible Bee game show, which is, I just got chills saying it. It's phenomenal. These kids, if you haven't watched the game show yet, every Tuesday, National Bible Bee on Facebook, you can watch it live, or ChristianCinema.com, watch the show live and see how it goes down. But young kids watching this, they just get so inspired, and they want to dig into God's Word, and to me, nothing else comes close in comparison with living an exciting life for God.
That is neat. Let's talk a little bit about stand-up comedy, Tina. Some of us older people remember that people like George Carlin and Richard Pryor somewhat revolutionized stand-up comedy by bringing in very, very bad, filthy language. It seemed to now have reached a point of absolute insanity in this situation with Kathy Griffith and holding up an image of a severed head of the President of the United States. And I mean, it's again, how free speech is claimed, and yet all of this hatred and vile stuff out there that people are watching.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I just want to say I am so frustrated that she shares my last name. I can't even tell you.
You're not related, though, right?
We're not related. Praise the Lord. So, yes, we're not related. I want to get that out there right away. And I literally said when I saw that picture, I put on my Facebook counterculture group, I said, that's it. We need to throw her in prison with a Bible. I mean, I don't want to be like, let's get rid of her because hatred, you know, she's Christ still died for her. But in the same time, it's like, how is that acceptable when people like her, she has, bashed Christians for how many decades and says, you're full of hatred, and yet expresses hatred while telling us that we're hateful. It doesn't make any sense. In fact, she's digging herself her own hole, and I'm glad that people are speaking up about it. Even people that used to support her are now saying, what are you doing? And hopefully her actions will make other people who followed her question life in general, and what am I doing with my life, and how should I really be promoting other people and other people's beliefs? So it's embarrassing. I feel embarrassed for her, so...
Well, let me read you a quote from Jim Carrey, who was one comedian that stood up for her. I don't know if you heard this, Tina. He said, it's the job of a comedian to cross the line at all times. That line is not real, and if you step out into the spotlight, you're doing crazy things that Trump is doing. We're the last line of defense. The comedians are the last voice of truth in this whole thing. It's impossible to get away from it. What do you think about that? Jim Carrey said that. In other words, supporting Kathy Griffin and her actions.
Yeah, not cool, Jim Carrey. If you're listening and tuning in, you got to open scripture, buddy, because that's not cool. Here's what I thought. I did read that, and I'm thinking, same as what the article has stated, what truth is she professing with holding up a severed, gruesome-looking head of our president? What truth comes out of that? The truth that she is lost and needs Christ? Because that's the truth that I see when I see that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Comedians having a voice. Yeah, they have a voice, but my whole thing in life is, and I've heard this a lot from different people I've worked with in the industry for a decade, even Oliver Stone had a quote talking about, hey, we only pump out media that shows what the state of our culture is in today. And I want to challenge anyone in the arts, entertainment, doing films. Yes, our culture is bankrupt. Definitely we need help, but there is hope. I see hope happening, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I know Christ is hope, and we know he wins in the end. I would challenge these filmmakers and anyone else in the entertainment industry today or has a huge influence with a wide audience. We need to start creating content and entertainment that will help inspire our culture to change for the better. And I disagree with Oliver Stone's comment. I believe that entertainment is a major reason why our culture is the way it is today. It's not the culture is the way it is and our media is just expressing what it is. It's our media today is creating a destructive culture. So Jim Carrey has a voice. Comedians have a voice. We have a choice if we're going to follow the comedian's advice or not. I think the best comedians out there are ones who inspire, who make fun of themselves on everyday situations that we can relate to. In fact, can I share a quick one-minute story?
Sure.
I was living in L.A. I was probably 4 or 5 years into living in L.A., and we call ourselves starving actors when out in Hollywood. You know, you work a lot and get paid not that much, but I was learning the whole decade I was there. And so a friend of mine and I said, hey, let's just go. Something told me wear a wig that night so no one would recognize, or if someone took a picture of me in the midst of this, they wouldn't know it's me. So I put a wig on, and I went to the Laugh Factory down on Hollywood Boulevard with my friend Danielle, because they had a huge Thanksgiving free feast, and I'm like, let's just go do it. They had comedians there. I knew what I was stepping foot into, and I prayed ahead of time, Lord, give me the words and actions if I have to stand up for truth tonight in the middle of this crowd. I was prepped. So long story short, 3 or 4 people in a row say the most sex-saturated, vulgar comments time and time again in L.A., and it's pretty bad. Like, it's stuff that sometimes isn't even televised. And I yelled out from the crowd, asking Danielle ahead of time, of course, if I get kicked out of here, are you coming with me? She said, yep. So I said, hey, is that all you got to say? And I basically confronted this third guy in. He's like, what did you just say? And so we went back and forth for about a minute. I said, all of you comedians are giving such graphic sexual content none of us can really relate to. It's honestly not funny. And if you want a career in Hollywood, say something we can relate to that's actually funny, where we're not embarrassed to crack a smile or laugh. And he goes, did your mom dress you? And I'm like, that's the best comeback you got? And so a bounce, I said, I'm telling you, if you want a career, you will stand out if you are a clean comedian. People will want to book you for events. You'll be able to travel the country and the world, because people want family and friendly comedians for their environment. And so with that, a bouncer came. We got kicked out. People were handing us cash on the way out because they felt bad that we got kicked out, but they were giving us high fives. Point is, I realized that we have to stand up for truth today, but the talent that really is purchase the most and book the most for events are clean comedians, not the raunchy ones. Families want positive. There's just a lack of choices today. So,
sadly,
moms, if you're listening, it's sad. If you've got kids that are funny, have them write up a funny, clean show, and they will make it to America's Got Talent.
Hey, Tina, I've got about 2 minutes left. I want you to touch base on a couple of things. Very excited to hear about your pop culture alert texting service. And then also, what events do you have coming up that people can partner with you on?
Oh, my gosh, that's great. Thank you so much for that. Yes. we have a pop culture alert texting service. Long story short, about 3 weeks ago, my husband and I were talking in the office here, and I'm like, Luke, parents keep telling me they're not finding out fast enough. I do these shows. They love them. It's great in content. But they keep telling me, I wish I would have known about this 2 weeks ago, like Blue Whale Challenge with the suicide game that kids are now taking their lives over because of this game that totally is promoting suicide. And I'm like, yes, we have to figure out a service where you find out before your kids so you can protect them ahead of time. Hence, Pop Culture Alert Texting Service got created. We put it all together. It's fantastic. A bunch of concerned parents are already on it. What they have to do is text the word ALERT, A-L-E-R-T, to the number 444-999. There's like a three-step process, super simple. They enter their email. It's $4.99 a month, but they get 4 hot pop culture tips ahead of the game before stuff is released, so they know what to watch out for. I give a short video. I tell them what to do. I have an action plan, and I give conversation starters with their kids. That's all for $1 an alert. That's it. And they can save lives ahead of time so their kids aren't exposed to this graphic, vulgar content. And that's it. They get a free guide that comes with that with a lot of great helpful tips and tools. It's a 4-page PDF. They'll get that emailed to them. They'll be on my newsletter list once a week to get the latest tips and tools from the World of Entertainment for their kids to keep them safe, all for just signing up with the word ALERT to 444-999. Upcoming event, and it's been great. I got great response on it so far. A lot of parents are signing up, especially when I go speak places, and now on these radio shows, they're starting to jump on board. Totally excited about that. I have 14 events between now and the first weekend of August. 14. God is blowing the doors open wide, but with youth events, the churches don't have a lot of funding. Festivals don't have a lot of funding because a lot of times these are free events for kids to come on in, and I can't say, no, I'm not going to go because of funding. God will take care of that. So if people want to partner, we have it's a nonprofit. Oh, my daughter needs me. Sorry. I'll get her in a second here. she basically, they can partner. Can you give me one quick second?
Sure.
Okay, 1 second. So sorry.
She almost made it. Almost made it to almost the end of the interview.
I guess we have to be a little patient with a guest who's a parent, a dedicated Christian, and informing us on so many important things.
And
so,
known as counterculture mom, Tina.
That okay, Tina,
so
what
funny.
You got?
I'm back. She is our youngest, and she's on the toilet. So sorry, I won't do the detail, but she's.
Please, thank you.
Help her in a minute. So yeah, exactly. That's real life counterculture mom here. So if you want to partner, they go to my website, counterculturemom.com. There's a partner link right there. Click on it. I describe what the needs will go to cover, and they have two different ways to give. If they want to write off, they can go through our nonprofit. If they don't just want to give directly to needs we have for office setup and traveling, they can do another link right there, easy to understand. But businesses, families, we can do monthly, we can do a one-time gift, but everything will help us, with, especially over the summer with all these different events, to get me there, to be able to speak to all these kids and parents, and it can be a write-off.
Excellent. So, you know, well, thank you, Tina, and we will put that counterculturemom.com in the link to our post today. Tina, thank you so much. God bless you. We look forward to talking to you in July.
That sounds awesome. Yes, I can't wait to see you guys in person, face-to-face. Thank you so
Looking
much for what
forward
you guys are doing.
Thank you. Tina Griffin, Counterculture Mom. When we come back, a couple of very important court cases regarding religious freedom.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupforthetruth.com. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Well, in case you've been Rip Van Winkle and asleep for 40 years, there's a major battle going on for religious freedom in this nation. We want to spend the rest of the hour talking about a couple court cases that are pending and the impact on these could be huge. Let's turn first to our neighbors to the west, Minnesota.
Minnesota filmmakers make free speech argument in court. A Minnesota federal judge heard arguments in a lawsuit brought by the owners of a film company who want to tell stories of marriage from an exclusively biblical perspective. The state's non-discrimination law requires wedding industry businesses to serve all prospective clients, including same-sex couples, or face stiff fines and even imprisonment. The law and the Minnesota Department of Human Rights active pursuit of violators has kept Carl and Angel Larson, founders of and owners of Telescope Media Group, from expanding their filmmaking production business to include weddings. Instead of venturing into the wedding industry and awaiting the inevitable business-crushing lawsuit filed by a same-sex couple and their ACLU attorneys, the Larsons went on the offense. They filed Telescope Media Group versus Lindsay, seeking relief from the law, which they claim violates their First Amendment freedoms of speech and religion. Their attorney, Jeremy Tedesco of Alliance Defending Freedom, said Chief Judge John Tunheim's questions to the state attorneys clearly indicated he understood the First Amendment applications in the case. The state law gives no exceptions for conscience protections and requires wedding industry businesses to service same-sex marriages or face criminal penalties, punitive damages up to $25,000, triple
compensatory,
there we go, damages, and up to 90 days in jail. Wait a minute, this is America, right, Mike?
Last time I checked.
Just wanted to make sure. Oh, it is Minnesota we're talking about. religious liberty attorneys have argued in related cases that compelled speech is unconstitutional whether the speech is spoken, written, or expressed through creative design. But that argument has fallen on deaf ears, much to Tedesco's frustration. Minnesota state attorneys defended the law by turning a blind eye to the expressive aspect of the Larson's films, Tedesco said, and insisted the law can compel citizens to engage in speech even if it violates their consciences. Tedesco warned that's a dangerous argument because a reversal in political power could change the people whose speech is compelled. Neither scenario is indicative of a free society, he said.
Why?
Larson told me he and Angel have received support from the creative community and they are prepared for the long-term haul. He said, my identity is in Jesus Christ. I will stay near to him and trust him and work for the good of my community.
Yeah, I'll tell you, very, very disturbing, and it really gets to the heart of the ability of people of religious conscience to earn a living. And, you know, so if they can attack our wallets, our ability to provide for our families, this is a very, very chilling potential court case. This, along with the next one we're going to cover, I think in many ways, Dave, is going to be, if it goes against conservatives and Christians, it's going to be more monumental than the Supreme Court decision to legalize homosexual marriage. And think back, as the Supreme Court was hearing the arguments on homosexual marriage, what did we hear from progressives? Look, we just want the same rights as everybody else. Those of us who followed this movement understood this had less to do with a homosexual's right to quote-unquote marry than it did to shutting up religion, particularly Christianity. And again, the hypocrisy alert here, folks, is, do you ever, have you ever seen a Muslim business attacked, sued, or threatened to be shut down when the Quran is much more stringent on homosexuality and all of these things? It calls for death. It calls for imprisonment of homosexuals. Christianity calls for love of them, even though they are in sin and rebellion against God. But Christians are the easy target because we're called to love. Muslims, not such an easy target because they are called to fight back. So, you know, really the homosexual decision by the Supreme Court almost 2 years ago, while a damaging decision to say the least, is really nothing compared to what we're looking at now, because now we are attacking the ability of Christians to earn a living.
Well, I think some of them have even admitted, and let me emphasize this fact, even some liberals and progressives in the LGBTQ, they have admitted, and I just wrote a chapter about this in my upcoming book, that marriage was not the end game. And I can give you just one example out of the many. One example is why 2 years ago in June, when the Supreme Court made that decision, why didn't all of a sudden we see or hear about just thousands and thousands of, quote, same-sex couples just, you know, flocking to the justices and the courts and to get married? Why didn't we see that, Mike? Why didn't we see this, all of a sudden, the peaking, skyrocketing amount of couples that are same-sex, gay or lesbian, getting married? They didn't.
I often try to look back, Dave, from the perspective of what's happened in our nation regarding marriage. And I wonder if we as conservatives didn't, if we couldn't have handled this a little better. I remember, I believe it was 10 years ago, when suddenly the move was for, and I'm trying to remember what they're called, civil unions. And we kind of fought that. And I think a lot about this issue of homosexual marriage. And in a way, it's a non-issue to me. And here's why. God created marriage, and God defined marriage as between a man and a woman. What we are seeing today is not homosexual marriage. It's homosexuals living together, having sex, having, if you will, the rights of married people in the nation. And they're going to do, you know what? We can't stop this from happening.
Because you're defining marriage according to the Bible.
Right. So it isn't really marriage. It, you know, marriage in the was created by God, which gives God the exclusive right to define it. And he has defined it as between a man and a woman. Not two men, not two women, whatever. So in a way, I look at this homosexual marriage argument, and I do believe we should be active as Christians, politically, socially, always standing up for the truth of God's word. But in another way, it's like, you know, the world is going to do what the world does, period. And I don't lose sleep over these things anymore. It breaks my heart to see so many people redefining a precious institution that God gave us. But, you know, in reality, again, as Christians, if a homosexual couple moves in across the street, our mandate is to love them, to speak the truth in love, to share the truth with them, but not to hate them, not to picket, not to do anything mean towards them. So it's an issue to me. The Supreme Court has weighed in. It's highly doubtful the Supreme Court will ever overrule itself in this issue, particularly because I believe now 57% of Americans now approve of homosexual marriage. You know, we've lost the battle, but we know that God wins the war.
Yeah, because marriage has been redefined. Truth has been redefined. And we know, those of us who are, you know, Bible-believing Christians, we know what God said and we know that his word is truth that is eternal. But our society doesn't, our country doesn't, our government sure doesn't. But let me tell you this, Mike. I really believe that every one of those Supreme Court justices knew exactly what the Bible taught about homosexuality and marriage. They knew. They didn't care. Yep. That it wasn't an issue to them. So they don't look at the Bible as truth or actual history or, you know, as relevant when they decide a case. That proved it right there.
Well, you and I have both written about this, how it is a fact, it is a historical fact that the Bible was used as a model for the U.S. Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Yes.
And so if these Supreme Court justices, whether it's abortion or marriage, had used a good thought process and said, okay, wait a minute, the Constitution was inspired by the Bible, what does the Bible say? We would have had a different outcome on Roe v. Wade and a different outcome on Hodges in 2015. But you're absolutely right. The Supreme Court justices, they know what God says.
Mm-hmm.
They have either chosen not to believe it, which I think is the case, or they don't care what God says. You know what? We believe we're more righteous and just than God, and we believe we know better than God what marriage is. So, you know, the horse is out of the barn. I don't think it's going to be reversed. Our role moving forward is, you know, we speak the truth in love. We stand up for the truth, and we point people to God's word, and we pray daily that the Lord will convict their hearts like he did our hearts a while back. When we come back, another case that's headed to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Missed a recent show? Catch up anytime on our free app, q90fm.com/app. Click on podcasts. Stand up for the truth. We'll continue in a moment. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
I believe a couple of years back, news broke about this a couple who did wedding cakes. And a homosexual couple came in and said, will you do our wedding cake? And they said, no, we don't believe that homosexual marriage is biblical. Therefore, we refuse to do it. They've been fined by the state. Well, indications, Dave, the Supreme Court of the United States might just look at this case this year.
Well, there are many couples, Christian couples involved in this. The one you were mentioning, I believe, is out in Oregon. This one in particular talks about the Christian baker Jack Phillips in Colorado, who had a Masterpiece Cake Shop. And, of course, he refused to bake a wedding cake for same-sex couple, Charlie Craig and David Mullins. Phillips cited his religious beliefs as the reason for his refusal, and Fox News reports that Craig and Mullins, the gay couple, filed a complaint against Phillips through the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which decided against Phillips and his business. Phillips was ordered by the commission to change his company's policies and to provide employee training on discrimination. He was also required to provide quarterly reports for the next 2 years on his compliance with the commission's orders. After the Colorado Court of Appeals upheld the commission's decision and the Colorado Supreme Court declined to hear the case, Phillips appealed his case to the Supreme Court, arguing that the lower court's decision violated his free speech and free exercise of religious rights as outlined in the First Amendment. Some experts believe Phillips has a strong case based on his free speech and free exercise argument. John Eastman, a professor and former dean at Chapman University School of Law, said whether it's a photographer or a cake maker or a t-shirt designer, they're engaged in expressive activity. In fact, added Eastman, in the case of t-shirts or language on a cake, it's actual speech.
It's actual speech, written
yes.
speech. So very interesting. And again, another attempt to look at Bible-believing Christians and marginalize them and also inhibit their ability to earn a living. And, you know, any of us who have had to deal with the mounds of paperwork from the federal government and state governments regarding unemployment, regarding labor law, imagine now an additional quarterly report that you must give to the state of Colorado in this case. Dave, we're reaching a point. Let's assume for a minute that this Minnesota filmmaker and this gentleman from Colorado are ruled against. This thing goes all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court upholds the conviction and punishment of Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop. You have a virtual end to the First Amendment of the Constitution, the freedom of speech and the freedom of religious expression. It's over. It's mm-hmm. history. You may as well cross it out of the Constitution.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing. Religions are not allowed to discriminate based on race, color, creed. We shouldn't discriminate based on race, color, creed. However, when you get into a religious belief and a matter of conscience like this, and something, again, that's very clear in God's word, and you are telling a Christian, not only can you not run your business the way God tells you to run your business, you can't even, the next thing's going to be you can't even speak out on these things. And what are we seeing on college campuses? And what are we seeing from a lot of progressives? That when someone disagrees with them, they're shouted down. Mm-hmm. The professor out west who, all he said was to his class, not all whites are racist. And the guy got physically attacked, got threatened. And the school administration backed the students. So tell me, if this curve continues, tell me where free speech and religious expression is going to be in 10 years. We are so close to a Marxist state. It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. A state where the government not only tells you what you can say, what you can do, but also what you believe and how you can earn a living. It's getting dangerously close to that.
So let me encourage you, what can we do other than pray? We can speak the truth about God's word, try to inform as many people as we can. But these are business, these are Christians that need this, in many cases, family income. This is their livelihood. So go to this, what's the Colorado bakery, Jack Phillips Masterpiece Cake Shop. Look these places up. If they have online ordering where you can order, you know, cookies and have them packaged out or cakes or whatever, support these businesses. That's one thing we can do. If those that are still in business, some of them couldn't make it. So Masterpiece Cake Shop, Colorado. Sweet Cakes by Melissa, mm-hmm. The couple, the Kleins, Aaron and Melissa Klein. They were fined $135,000 for refusing to make a wedding cake. They are out of, I believe, Oregon, but it's Sweet Cakes by Melissa. Look them up online. And the most recent case we heard about, just right in our neighbor here, Michigan, next door, the Tenn family, T-E-N-N-E-S, Country Mill Farms. They sold fruits and vegetables and produce at Farmer's Market in East Lansing for 7 years. And all of a sudden, because they don't agree with gay marriage, they can't be part of the Farmer's Market and sell their products. So look up, I'm sure they have a website. It's Country Mill Farms in Lower Michigan. They're outside of Lansing. And support this. They're a Catholic family. But these are people who are trying to stand up for their religious freedoms and do their business. They're not harming anybody. But here's the amount of cases that are coming up now against people that just want to do their business and say, you know what? We don't want to support this because it doesn't agree with what we believe biblically.
You scratch your head and wonder what these progressives are thinking about. They support Islam. They support squelching of free speech. They support the squelching of Christianity. They are acting as Marxists and Nazis, quite frankly. These theologies, and under those conditions, I mean, Stalin, Hitler, it wasn't just Jews that Hitler eliminated. Try living as a homosexual in Germany in the 1930s. Try living as a homosexual in the Soviet Union up until its downfall in 1989. You were either put to death or you were put in prison and nobody knew where you were. So I try to grasp what these people are thinking about. And the only thing I can think of is they are so filled with hate and so filled with a lie that what they believe is truth, that they are willing to literally get in bed with anybody to promote their agenda. You see the Women's March proclaiming Islam as a religion of peace, and you have Muslim women in the Middle East saying, are you crazy? You know what? If you believe that Islam is so tolerant towards you as a feminist, go march in Tehran, go march in Riyadh, go march in Baghdad, and see how far you get with it. So the thought process of these people, Dave, is so... the only word I can come up with is warped or distorted, that they are aligning. There's an old Arab proverb, and I believe it was Saladin who said it. I could be wrong. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they are aligning themselves with radical Islam, with the teachings of Karl Marx and Lenin, thinking they're right. These very systems, the system they are bringing in to the United States of America, will, historically speaking, destroy the very things they stand for. But, you know, you can my lovely bride always says, you can always tell a progressive, but you can't tell them much. And yes, we need to pray. I do think we should stand up for our religious liberties. I think we should be as active politically and socially as we can be. But I think there's one more thing, Dave, that serious Christians need to do. We need to start being in prayer and understanding and discussions that the battle is changing. It is changing. We are no longer the majority in this nation. Bible-believing Christians are in the extreme minority. And there's a target on us, a virtual target on us. And we need to start being in prayer. We need to start being in fellowship and realize it's a matter of years, generously, maybe decades, until Christians are literally hunted down and imprisoned for not only what they do, but what they believe.
And we are the minority. And to clarify that, there are many, many professing Christians that would make it seem like Christians are the minority. I think still 70-some percent of Americans mm-hmm. say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But what does it mean to be a Christian? A lot of people would say, well, I go to church on Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
Or I don't kill anybody. I don't murder. I don't cheat. I believe in the Ten Commandments. You ask him, is the Bible true? And is Jesus God? Is Jesus the truth? No. Well, no. It's not the only way. But you know what I mean? So there's a lot of people that think that they are Christians. So to clarify, yeah, we are the remnant, the ones that believe and trust the Bible. It is inerrant. It is truth. It is gospel. That is how we live our lives, that biblical Christian worldview.
One of the elders at our church about 2 months ago during one of our men's Bible study time said, we have to come up with a different word other than Christian because it's lost all meaning. And I said, amen. And we just been kicking around a few ideas. One I have is, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower? Are you a student who seeks to be a master, if you will, in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey all I commanded. The Bible is very, very clear on issues such as sexuality, marriage, and abortion. There's no ambiguity that abortion is murder and that marriage is reserved between a man and a woman. And yet, what is it, 54%, I believe, of professing Roman Catholics have no problem with homosexual marriage. Now, my question to the Roman Catholic leadership is, you have opposed this. You've opposed abortion. God bless the Roman Catholic Church from this perspective. In 1973, they were one of the sole religious voices out there opposing Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. They've been very demonstrative about it. But you know what? I was just thinking last week, Nancy Pelosi, the gift that keeps on giving, when Donald Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Change Accord, and I'm going to paraphrase Nancy Pelosi, who is a practicing Catholic.
Well, practicing, you said?
Practicing. Well, professing.
Professing Catholic.
She said, you know, he met with the Holy Father, and the Holy Father told him that he needed to stay in the Paris Climate Agreement, and he didn't listen to the Holy Father. How dare he? Excuse me? The same woman who thumbs her nose at Roman Catholic theology on abortion and marriage is now lecturing Donald Trump, who's not a Roman Catholic, that he needs to obey the Pope? Nancy Pelosi, you need to obey the Word of God. And remember the famous, about 4 years ago, she said, my favorite word is the Word, the Word of God. And
I think she was drunk when she said that.
I don't know, but a reporter raised her hand and said, what does the Word of God say about when life begins? Well, these are private things we must all consider.
Uh-huh.
Nancy Pelosi, there's nothing private about God's view on life. It begins when God wills it. It begins when he knits us fearfully and wonderfully into our mother's womb. Mm. But the hypocrisy of the left is just, it's bad enough, the hypocrisy, Dave, but the bottom line is the majority of Americans are buying into it.
Exactly. But let me ask you a question about a phrasing that Nancy Hypocrisy said, Pelosi. Shouldn't the God of the Bible, the creator of every human being and all things, shouldn't that title Holy Father be reserved for the Father in heaven?
Mm. Jesus said,
call
no man Father except your Father in heaven.
So isn't that interesting that to call a man a holy Father and revere him in that light?
Well, the Pope considers himself to be the vicar of Christ, Christ's representative on earth. We are all to be Christ's representative on earth, every one of us who believes in God and trusts in Christ.
Isn't there another definition of that, though, where it's almost like, not intercessor, almost like mediator, a servant, there's another part of that definition of vicar, I think, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the one who's the mediator between us and God.
Well, a key issue, and we had Mike Abendroth on yesterday, a key issue between Protestants and Catholics is that Protestants believe the Word of God is the final stop of authority. Roman Catholic doctrine teaches that the Pope is infallible in issues of spirituality. So in other words, we go to the Pope to see what the Pope says about these issues. We know we go to God's Word to see what God says about those issues. That's a major contention between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism.
Yes. And you know what's dangerous about that? You're taking the word of man over the word of God. Yeah. You know who else does that? The Mormons do that with their elders, whatever they say as far as progressive revelation goes. Oh, that, well, that, it kind of like the Muslim version of abrogation. You know, the more recent, well, it replaces the past one. And Jehovah's Witnesses, they listen to their governing body. If they want to change their own revised edition of the Bible, they actually created their own version of the Bible.
We've got professing evangelical and Lutheran Christians doing the same thing. You look at the ELCA that's now adopting homosexual marriage, you know, the bylaws of the church. You look at one of the Methodist strains of Christianity that's doing it. So, I mean, we in the evangelical and Protestant camp sometimes are no better. Because we take the views of men and we put them over the doctrines of God. So it's a problem, but you know what? With every problem, I love to quote Jan Markell. Things are not falling. What is it?
Things not are falling not falling apart. Apart. Things
They're
are falling,
falling
into place.
Into place. Yeah. God is not surprised by this. God is going to send his son, Jesus Christ, to return one day. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Every knee will bow. But sadly, too many of them are going to be in defiance rather than submission to him. When we come back, we wrap up the show and tell you about our guest tomorrow.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up For The Truth in a moment. We're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Stand Up For The Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
Well, tomorrow we're joined by Alex McFarland. He's an author, he's a writer, he's a speaker, speaks to culture and Christianity. A couple news stories we're going to cover. There's a group called Faith in America that is protesting the Southern Baptist Conference and demanding that they insist homosexuality is no longer a sin. The SBC's response was, it ain't going to happen. A small town in Missouri has been bullied by atheists to take a cross down that's been up since the 1930s. They decided to take matters into their own hands and basically rebuke them. And then another story we want to cover that something on the radar to keep your eyes on, pending decisions on assisted suicide. They're cropping up in many states. The Supreme Court of the United States has not weighed in with a decision yet. It's inevitable they will eventually. But the key question here is, if a person wants to end their life, can a physician or a friend help them do it? Currently, with most states, it's considered murder. But, you know, this Oregon and a few other states do allow it. So
I think seven.
Seven, now.
I think seven states. And a recent, I don't remember if it was Barn, I think it was Lifeway Research. Don't quote me on that. But one of the recent surveys came out and said a majority of Americans now support the idea of helping a terminally ill person kill themselves.
You know, the argument is death with dignity. The only way to die with dignity is to know the one who died on the cross for you and to be secure in the fact that when we die and leave this body and our eternal fate is determined, that we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It's really the only way to die with dignity. But interesting. It's one of those topics I think we need to keep our eyes on. Again, God makes it very, very clear after the flood, murder is a capital offense, and your life is to be forfeit if you take the life of another man. So God said it, not me. Don't blame me. For David Fiorazzo, Mike LeMay, Standing Up For The Truth. Have a great day. Be bold, strong, and unashamed of the gospel. The Lord your God is always with you.